This podcast is made on the lands of the Wurundjeri people, the Wurrung and the Boonwurrung. We'd like to acknowledge and pay respects to their elders, both past and present, and emerging. From the Melbourne School of Psychological Sciences at the University of Melbourne, this is Psych Talks.
Hi, I'm Lynn Malcolm. Welcome to Psych Talks, a series on what studies in psychology can reveal about some of the big issues in modern Australia and beyond. A quick heads up before we begin. Just be aware that this episode includes dramatisations of road accidents, medical procedures, and scenes of distress. Today in Psych Talks, we're looking at a type of ad that's designed to stop us in our tracks.
It's not just the physical injuries. You have to learn to cope with it. It's the sheer waste and the stench of alcohol that stays with you.
I'm just calling to inform you that your daughter Lucy has been involved in a car accident. You'll need to come down.
This is probably a bit of hurting. I can't smash
it all, Lucy.
This is the driver.
That looks very messy.
Okay, you can't go in there at the moment, mate.
I've got to go in.
These confronting advertisements, like this one by Victoria's Transport Accident Commission, the TAC, use a technique called fear appeal. And if they seem familiar, that's because fear appeal ads have become a mainstay of public health and safety campaigning in Australia and in many other countries. But why do the organisations behind fear appeals persist with this style of advertising year on year? We put this question to social psychologist Cassie Hayward, Associate Professor at the Melbourne School of Psychological Sciences.
In the field of behaviour change science, ads that try and tap into our emotional reaction to an issue rather than just our kind of rational or informational needs are called fear appeals. But they're called this because they try and leverage our fear of an issue as a way to jumpstart us into action.
We also went straight to the source, the TAC. Here's Sam Cockfield, their head of road safety.
The Transport Accident Commission, most commonly known as the TAC, well, a Victorian government-owned organisation whose role it is to promote road safety and to support those who have been injured on our roads and help them get their lives back on track.
To reduce the road toll, Victoria Police have introduced a new type of speed camera.
Operation is totally automatic.
We've been heavily involved in promoting road safety through advertising since 1989, and we've really been using those fear appeal style campaigns since that time.
The bumper hits the knee joint, tearing flesh and ligaments. The full weight of the skull smashes through the windscreen. The neck snaps, the skull shatters, and the pedestrian's brain is turned into pulp. In little more than a second, the pedestrian's body will hit the road with a 70% chance of being dead.
It's not just about scaring us or showing us something terrifying. There's a really specific recipe to make an effective fear appeal ad. And it basically comes down to presenting the issue in a way that makes people think it's a real and serious threat to them and their loved ones, whatever the issue is that's being advertised. So you really want people to have what we call the that could be me response. You want them to look at the ad and see themselves in that situation. But equally important is that the ad needs to provide some kind of action plan or solution to motivate people into action.
And had you been braking from 60 k's, not 70, there's a good chance you could have stopped in time and the pedestrian would have suffered nothing worse than a severe fright. Think about it.
And that's what we call the I can do something about it response. And that's really the crux of a good fear-based appeal. And you can't have one component without the other. It's how those two pieces work together that has the impact on people.
Road safety is ever evolving. We probably started out primarily with high-level speeding and drink driving as the key issues we were targeting. But over time, new issues have emerged where better understood issues such as fatigue and drowsy driving, the emergence of mobile phones means that we've got a totally new issue that we couldn't have even envisaged 25 years ago. So there's always a reason to be trying to appeal to people to change their behaviour and give them, I suppose, plans, as Cassie said, to how to do that.
According to Cassie, getting fear appeal ads right is a fine art.
So it's a really simple recipe, but it's really hard to get right. And you see a lot of ads fail in this space. So the scene you're presenting has to reflect reality. It can't be too tame, but nor can it be too kind of extreme or over the top. It's those realistic, kind of gritty ones that really hit home. And the action plan also has to be doable. So it can be challenging, but it has to be something that's achievable for people to do.
Cassie says that you can see these elements working together brilliantly in many TAC advertisements.
One of my favourites is their motorcycle protective clothing ad.
What we've got is a young man who's come off his bike, he's hit the bitumen, skidded along, and the denim has disintegrated on impact.
In that ad, we see a really grim scene of a motorcycle rider who's come off the bike. Like, we see into his leg on the operating table.
We call this a degloving injury. They'll have it scrubbed out and all the dead tissue cut away.
But the ad has a really clear action plan about wearing protective clothing.
If he'd been wearing leathers, he could have walked away from this.
It's one of the clearest and best examples of this style of ad.
Cassie also believes that the key to getting the message across is knowing your audience.
It's not about one ad that is relevant to everyone. It's about specific targeted ads.
Being an at-risk group, young people are often TAC's target market. But it's not always about age.
Many public health campaigns are targeting a behaviour that can be relevant to a broad age range. So take that TAC motorcycle protective clothing ad that we mentioned, that sort of gruesome reality of what can happen when you come off your bike on the road would have an impact on a 20-year-old motorcycle rider as well as a 50-year-old motorcycle rider.
It is notoriously hard to change people's behaviour. What evidence do we have that fear-based appeals work?
It is really, really hard to change people's behaviour, but there is a lot of evidence in this space. So there's been a really great meta-analysis of fear appeal. So a meta-analysis is basically a summary of all the studies that have looked at a particular topic. And this meta-analysis is really comprehensive and very clear in the finding that this style of advertising works. And then you also have evidence within the organisations that do this type of advertising. So that's not research that's necessarily available to the public, but places like the TAC will have a really solid research focus that evaluate many metrics of effectiveness of their ads.
TAC's Sam Cockfield.
Drugs and driving has been an issue for us for about 20 years. Initially, we knew we had a problem, but it was very difficult to deter people from taking drugs and driving because we didn't have an easy means of enforcement. But Victoria has been quite proactive on this front and was pretty much the first jurisdiction in the world to introduce random drug testing or roadside drug testing.
Fear-based ads for road safety can, of course, target not just the fear of an accident, but also the fear of getting caught breaking the rules. Plus, these campaigns frequently aim to educate the public about new police methods of detecting wrongdoing. In the case of drug driving, Sam says generally people didn't need too much convincing about the first part, that it was a dangerous safety risk.
Most people already believe that, so that's not too difficult. It's really a reminder and just heightening the knowledge and the fear that the outcome of drug driving will not be positive. But then the next part of the campaign is the one I wanted to speak about now, was the fear of detection. So now, if you take drugs and drive, it's not only the fact that you might have a crash and kill yourself or your loved ones or others on the road, but the chances are high you will get caught.
Sir, you've tested positive to illicit drugs. Can you step out of the car, please?
Drugs can remain in your system long after the night's over.
It was a very strong campaign and we really saw some great responses in terms of our market research into that campaign.
So what impact did it have and how did you exactly measure it?
So every campaign that we develop at the TAC, we test at every stage. So we test a campaign when we first have the concepts. So we do market research with focus groups of the target market. So often for something like drugs, it will be youngish males and females who self-admit to taking drugs and driving. And so we make sure that the general concept works with them, and also understand what their current understanding of something like the level of drug testing is. We then obviously go off, shoot the campaign, and we put it back into research before we actually finalise the campaign.
Focus group testing revealed that the target market had an even stronger response than expected.
We had it on television, radio, in print quite extensively, and we aimed for 90% awareness, and we got 95% awareness that there was now random drug testing.
Testing also shows that 82% of people who said they took drugs thought the chances of getting caught were high.
So we actually changed people's perceptions about getting caught, the fact that how they got caught, so through random drug testing, and the fact that they actually admitted to now seeing more drug testing going on Victorian roads.
They drink too much, and then they drive. They smash up their cars and the people they're supposed to care about. And if they survive, they're the ones that have to live with that. And that's the real tragedy. If you drink, then drive, you're a bloody idiot.
If you drink, then drive, you're a bloody idiot. You've just heard part of TAC's first ever ad, which ends with the signature slogan they're most known for. It was introduced in the late 1980s when drink driving was still somewhat socially acceptable. As TAC's Sam Cockfield explains, they've been able to measure how attitudes to drink driving have evolved.
Year on year, when we do what we call social acceptability studies, we ask them, as an example, what do you think the unacceptability of high-level drink driving is? What do you think the unacceptability of low-level drink driving is? And we then compare it to other social issues such as, let's just say, having an extramarital affair or picking your nose. And we actually see particularly high-level drink driving as completely unacceptable. It's pretty much been the most unacceptable thing we can do in Victoria of any behaviours that we've tested for. And low-level drink driving and drugs and driving is not that far behind.
According to TAC's data, when they began campaigning at the end of the 1980s, drink driving made up roughly half of all road fatalities. That's dropped to between 15 to 20%. Associate Professor Cassie Haywood.
If you look at drink driving, there hasn't really been that much that's changed in drink driving legislation over the past, say, 15 or 20 years. But when you look at those stats on social acceptability of drink driving, it's changed dramatically. And I think the ads that TAC have done in that space have contributed to that change in social norms and social acceptability. And that really goes to show how important it is for us to be accepted by our peers and to then engage in the behaviours that will be accepted by our peers.
But fear appeal ads can, for some groups, have certain limitations.
One of the issues with consistently seeing fear appeal type campaigns in the market, and it doesn't relate just to TAC, it relates to a range of health issues, and we know we see similar types of campaigns, for example, from smoking. People can start to turn off once they know what they're about to see. So some people continue to watch and are fascinated and can almost take in the message time and time again. Others will hear the introductory music or the first few words of an ad and can just not tune into it at all. And that's probably the biggest pitfall, and I think that's probably happened a little bit more over time as more and more public health issues have picked up this style of advertising.
Typically, TAC's fear appeal ads only target a small portion of the driving community, as low as 2, 3 or 4%.
So you've got, you know, very large expensive campaigns targeting a very small proportion of drivers. So you've also got to think a little bit about what might assist us to get that message out in another way. As an example, we might think about, say, with motorcycle protective clothing, We know that we do have a certain feeling of invincibility as motorcyclists, and I actually have a motorcycle license, so I can count myself amongst the people who might have that feeling, and that we're prepared to take risks because we genuinely don't think it's going to happen to us. But we find that loved ones, parents of young people who ride motorbikes, partners, they've really got self-interest in not seeing their loved one harm. So, you know, how can we actually get those sort of people involved in the issue and becoming part of the plan, so to speak, to move behaviour?
Cassie also points out that the impact of TAC's advertisements aren't the only factors influencing road safety statistics.
It's not just the driver's behaviour that determines the outcomes on the road. It's the road system, it's the road quality, it's the car, it's the technology of the car, it's other drivers, it's the weather. So it's this hugely complex system that we're trying to attempt to influence. So the best chance we have of reaching that goal of a reduction in road trauma is when all of those parts of the system work together, which is also something that the TAC aims to do.
And when it comes to drink driving, Sam says that no matter how good a fear-based ad campaign may be, it can't stop those who are dependent on alcohol from taking risks.
Alcohol dependency is an issue in our community, which means it's very difficult for people, no matter how well-intentioned, once they start drinking, to stop for some people. And so there are a range of, I suppose, initiatives that we look at in road safety. Some of them are sort of general public health type initiatives where we work with health authorities in interventions to help people recognising they might have an alcohol problem.
But it's the use of technology that Sam thinks will have the biggest impact in the years to come when looking to solutions to drink driving outside of advertising.
If you lose your license for drink driving, an alcohol interlock will be fitted to any vehicle you drive, which means your day will involve...
Currently, convicted drink drivers' cars are routinely fitted with an alcohol interlock. They require a zero blood alcohol reading on a breathalyzer to get the vehicle moving.
The interlock's a pain. A little over, a lot to lose.
Interlocks may, however, be soon surpassed by what's called a passive alcohol system, which has sensors that passively detect alcohol on the driver's breath. Experts say this technology is much more precise than interlocks and may even make it virtually impossible to drink drive.
We've just brought a demonstration vehicle to Victoria to look at is this passive alcohol system. So it basically, within 1 second of you starting the car, takes in the driver exhale breath, so when you breathe out, we'll quickly test it through an infrared system and let you know whether you're right to go or not. In fact, it will just, the car will just go if you're right to go. If it's not, the car will stay on, but you won't be right to drive. We know this is the way of the future. If you've got a dependency problem, this is what you need. You need something in the car to help you make good decisions. And so this is the type of intervention we're looking at for the future.
We know how hard it is to change behaviour and get someone to kind of admit that they shouldn't be behind the wheel. Technology will make that easier to enforce. Obviously, I still think that there's a huge role for advertising. And I think to that point, we're seeing a much more scientific approach to advertising development. So many ad agencies now have people with a psychology background. We at the Melbourne School of Psychological Sciences now have a master's program in applied psychology, which is really about training students of psychology in this field of applied psychology and going into these places. And that's had a great response in terms of our grads getting hired into really exciting roles, many in the public health space.
Says Sam, TAC's fear appeal ads have clearly helped redefine what it means to be a responsible, safe driver.
See him? He's only a little bit injured.
We moved that tagline from "if you drink and drive, you're a bloody idiot" to "only a little bit over, you bloody idiot," and we reforecast what it meant to be a drink driver. So now people knew anything over 0.05, you were a drink driver.
But I was only a little bit over.
And now we're starting to move that dial again to explain any amount of alcohol actually impairs you. And so we've now got a new message out that is about separation. It's about you really don't know what level you're at once you start driving, and any level impairs you. So drinking and driving, they're better apart, is now our messaging. And we've really been able to get to that spot over basically 30 years of advertising.
When done well, fear appeal ads have proven to be an influential force on many of us and a powerful tool, one that health and safety campaigners will continue to use.
Always ask my students what ads they remember from when they were growing up, which always makes me feel really old, but, you know, it's good for the activity. But for anyone who grew up in Victoria, the TAC ads are always top of the list. So these ads really stick with people and continue to play on their mind and have an impact on them. And that's a really big success to have from an ad. So it's not something that all ads can claim to do. It's hard enough just to get noticed, let alone remembered 10 or 15 years later.
But over the next 12 months, more than 1 million Victorian motorists will be breath tested.
That's a $250 fine. Your licence would be cancelled for 6 months. Oh.
So if you drink, then drive.
I really didn't drink that much.
You're a bloody idiot.
Evening, sir. It's a random breath test. I'll just get you...
Thanks for joining us for that episode of Psych Talks, made with support from the Melbourne School of Psychological Sciences. And a huge thanks, of course, also goes to our guests, Associate Professor Cassie Hayward and Sam Cockfield. Our producer today was Carly Gordon, and our assistant producers are Amy Bougea and Mairead Murray. Arch Cuthbertson was our sound engineer, and music was composed by Chris Falk. You can listen to more episodes of Psych Talks with me, Lynn Malcolm, by subscribing to our show wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.